back in the underground. I have Matt McAllister here with me today. It's a special treat.
Hi, Mitch.
Hi, Matt. It's good to have you here.
What's that intro about, anyway?
It's about the complexity of the urban environment and trying to make our way through it and find something meaningful.
Or is it just a subway?
Thank you. down. I just like that song. I've heard it like 20 times.
Who is it?
Monsters Are Waiting.
Monsters Are Waiting.
Yeah. Okay. And the song's called Christine. And they're playing at Club Moscow. They have a residency. I think it's Tuesdays, but I'm not sure. Anyways, every Tuesday in November or something like that. Check the MySpace webpage at myspace.com/monsters are waiting. Club Moscow is where that band Hollywood Undead got their start, which is that like crazy LA kind of hip hop band that MySpace is signing as their first part of their record label. Anyways, so how's it going, Matt?
Yeah, pretty good. Pretty good.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
We used to had sushi at a really good restaurant.
That was good. Was that
R23?
R23. Why is it called R23?
I think it was R23. Renica's in here, but she's quote unquote not saying anything.
You can't actually hear her.
So, anyways, that was my pick for the week. What'd you bring?
I'm not exactly sure. It's a track called 7x7 by Toby One, which was I found off of WebJ. And the guy who runs WebJ is a guy named Lucas Gonza. And I was looking at some of his playlists. So this was off his most recent playlist.
Let's check it out.
All right.
It's a
funky kind of track. It caught my attention.
Sounds like the CD's skipping here.
That's what caught my attention the first time I heard it. That's the way they remixed it.
Thank you.
equals 7 more than I thought it would in a 6 by 7 wedding. It doesn't sound so good.
Excuse me.
I think she meant it didn't smell so good. So, I don't know.
That was like combat.
Yeah, a little bit.
It's like a lo-fi early Atari video game sound.
I think that was after we messed up the cartridges.
What are you doing with the Atari, Mitch?
Is this chair broken or is it always like this?
It's really loose.
And it might fall.
Yeah.
That's why we got the beanbag behind you.
All right. Well, Ren's in it, so look out, Ren.
Well, that was cool. I like that. It was, she had sort of a Portishead kind of thing going on. Mm.
Yeah, I don't know where the, like, what was remixed and what was original and all that. I think there are a few different layers going on with that track. But, yeah, it caught my ear.
Very cool. Well, maybe a little mashup.
Mm, could have been.
I hope we don't get in trouble for that one, Matt.
Shh, shh, shh.
No. Let's just not talk about that. So I got a kind of an interesting email from one of our listeners here. So let me read it. This is from Edison Bolivar.
Bolivar.
Bolivar. I enjoy listening to your podcast because
don't do that. You don't know what he sounds like.
Well, he definitely doesn't sound like me, so I might as well.
Maybe he's like 12.
Okay. I enjoy listening to your
I'm saying like talk like he's a 12-year-old.
I enjoy listening to your podcast because it lets me hear music that I normally would not get a chance to hear anywhere else.
That's pretty good.
The one independent genre that you guys really don't play much of is hip hop. You guys played the Danger Mouse and MF Doom. That CD recently came out, but other than that, I really haven't heard much of anything else. I think you guys would get a broader audience if you played at least one good hip hop song, like every show.
He didn't say like.
Yeah. Okay, each show.
That's improv.
I'm improvising.
Yeah.
If you need some music, I'll be happy to send a few songs for you to check out that I think your audience will enjoy. All in all, though, you guys are you're doing an awesome job. Keep up the good work, Edison.
Edinson.
So he sent me a couple of tracks, but unfortunately I can't like just do music just because someone sends it to me. Like the artist, I either have to contact the artist or they got to put it online so that it's free. That's sort of my rule here. Right. That's like the rule of thumb. I love it when people send requests, and this guy actually did follow up with an email, and he had some, like I said, he attached some music, but I was able to find some music from this artist that he sent. Right. So here's a track from a band called Asimov, and it's hip-hop.
I can stand it!
One, two, three, four, five, six.
Live from Planet Earth is the Horseman.
Steve Caution.
Yo, the boss man wanted a big portion.
Last minute auction, bidding Colonel Concoction.
Yo, the unknown running beast in the ground, let's get
yo,
down.
Yo, the high wire cast, get them arms outstretched. So you can catch vertigo going straight, hope for a net.
Right in a position to be good in your place. Your heavy hands holding your face. You're trying to fly like Superman cape.
Asimov just joined the landscape, the rhyme supplying. Collection of mics, got some niggas feeling like they the Heisman. Enormous like Larry Giant, yo, I'm coming through.
They're trying to keep it straight like in alignment on the ones and twos. Digging for dust. B-boys busting moves,
keeping it calibrated.
It's like finger hurt when it's gang related.
Yeah, they lob signs like 45 with speed fine.
Now due to the incline, we strip with that spit shine. Move them or spell, give them a glossy appeal. Breathing that bullshit through colossally, yeah.
These suckers buckle when they face the challenge.
I think they need to check the gauges and their pH balance. Let's get it to 7.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11.
Old number 7.
pronoun. I'm charged with taking my thoughts lost to the throwdown. These prison issue opinions amuse me. My hammer sparks, splits limits like metal lock. While all balls follow formula. Hard bark, they not sharks. If Wonder was here, he'd be like,
seven.
Time for a new paradigm shift. This is the rap show. The celebration is over, so the hats off. Get off the streets, cars, and ice, and get back to peace, rhymes, and life. The lover, now she mad at ya.
Saying they active, but they can't even follow a script. They need to back up or watch out or bust they lips. So I hear laughter. They don't know what step in the same. Cause once the door closed, they almost got it like Edward James. We got that chemistry. Ask them all, you know we don't play. Cause our rhymes and nutrients providing that vitamin A.
A-S-S-A-M-O-V. Get your set straight in seconds. Suckers don't know me. It's therapeutic black. Our music scraps the skyscraper. Writing papers on litmus paper to educate ya. Your fights try to cover sight with incense. We balance but don't play both sides of the fence. We medicine rolling with a golden key to get us in your skull box. Stand in the center and throw rocks. Suckers is so hot they know not and forgot.
Fresh. Attack or defend,
fall back or ascend, adapt the clash to the end. You either buy your boots, you either fly or fluke.
You reaping what you sow or smiling cause you got away with crime in your youth. It's all about balance and more importantly taking the time to even pieces in your personality. So take it from me, or more importantly that as a movie, the lesson embedded in this is
fits in with the seven theme that you that we're going with.
Today's episode brought to you by the number seven
and the letter F. I don't know why that.
And the number
was Barkley part of Sesame Street when you were watching it, or was he like a new addition?
No, he was like when Sesame Street wasn't cool anymore for like my age group. It was, that's when it was becoming cool for your age group, and that's when Barkley came in.
Right. Elmo wasn't part of your thing either, right?
No,
Elmo was like tail end of mine.
Right. Do they add characters every like 5 years or something?
I don't know.
Is that what happens?
I haven't seen it in so long.
Do they still have like Oscar and the whole thing?
I don't even know. Jim Henson was sort of the guy behind the guy.
He was.
So.
Isn't it his son doing the voices?
He does Kermit.
Right.
Huh. Anyways, when was the last time you saw The Dark Crystal?
I was thinking about that show not too long ago, actually. Yeah.
Renica and I, we rented it.
Is it any good or is it like
it's
really
good,
crappy?
But it's scary.
It's not like kid friendly or...
It's scary. I mean, it's really scary. You have these big, ugly... crow-like things,
yeah,
you know, going after these little tiny humanoid like characters,
right?
And you know, I don't, Renica, what were they called? What were the,
they're like half the, crow or something,
they're like halfling. Well, no they're not halfling, no, but Gelfling. The Gelfling.
Oh yeah
and the
like
ones.
Hobbits,
and they would do
no, that was the scary,
well that was just one
that
guy,
that was a scary thing, yeah.
He was just like the one, like the worm tongue of the Dark Crystal, right? Like he was like the backstabbing,
right? He was he was like the he was like the slimiest of the slimy guys,
right?
Yeah, he was really bad. Yeah, because they had this the good they had these two like sets the good half, like there was a shard that came off of the Dark Crystal,
right?
And that created a division between
the good and the bad,
right?
The yin and the yang, and
yeah,
and then in the end they come, oh I was gonna say they come together, but I don't want to ruin it for everybody, so forget.
So go rent the Dark Crystal and freak out and think that maybe you have a fever for a little while.
Is it like psychedelic? I don't remember it. I just remember like being obsessed with the puppets.
It's weird, man. Yeah. It's just weird. I don't know.
What a job those guys have. They just make puppets and...
But,
and, right. and tell stories.
And tell stories.
Yeah. I know. That'd be cool.
Yeah.
Anyways.
So how are things on Notes Underground?
It's going through I'm going through a transition. Bobby and Zach have both decided not to come back.
Like, period. They're not coming
they
back.
They don't. From what I understand and what they've told me, that they're not interested in continuing because
are they not interested in the dynamic of the three of you, or is it that they don't want to participate on the show?
Well, they love doing it. They loved like the vibe of us, sort of the three of us getting together and talking about music. Like, mm-hmm. that was cool. They were totally cool with that.
Right.
But there was some tension, you know, like that there was some tension, like occasionally, you know, Bobby or Zach or somebody, you know, would say something to somebody, and on the show it didn't sound like much, but like in the room you could feel it, you know? And
yeah, when you first told me that, I couldn't believe it, because it does not come across
it
when
just
you're
sounds
listening
like banter
to the show
or whatever, right?
Yeah, it's just yeah. like three guys talking about music, and you know, sometimes you'd get excited, but I like never interpreted conflict in the room.
Well, and maybe that's all it was, but I got really irritated one night when I felt like stuff was going on that was like really kind of under the, like that was really,
I thought there
was some personal attacks going on, and I just got really pissed off, you know, and I got emotional about it, and I was like, look, you guys, deal with it and take your time if you got to, you know, don't come back next week. I'll do the show by myself. Just take the time to deal with the issue and get it out into the open. Talk about it so that we can all be fresh and here at the show doing the show instead of getting at each other's throats.
Did they talk offline about the issues
or? Eventually, but they both resented me for quote, you know, for like pulling the rug out from under them and saying right. not to come back
right
until it was resolved. So they, you know, I ended up sort of taking the democracy out of our little crew
right
with that move
right.
And so I think in lieu of that, neither one of them wanted to come back because, you know, I think that they felt like that I was going to control the show too much and that it was never really going to be about a community kind of thing.
Right. Well, you guys had a great vibe with the three of you. It's kind of a shame, but it is kind of cool that, you know, you've had some, you know, different kinds of voices and tried to do the show in some different ways. But,
well, that's the thing is like, I don't think I would have had the opportunity to do the show with you, mm-hmm. I mean, because what was happening was if I wanted to bring anybody else in, I had to either do it on the weekend or, you know what I mean? I had to do schedule extra shows, and I'm just like, I'm working during the day. I don't have a lot of time. And
right.
so it was hard for me to meet with other people on the show that weren't, cause there's just what, when we did it, like with Zach and Bobby and then like another guest, it would just be too many voices. They're like, there's only so much sound space.
And someone's got to sit in that beanbag. I mean, like, does the person sitting in the beanbag, do they end up being quieter than the person in the chair?
They do.
Cause like I'm right next to you and right. it, you know, it's like we're having a conversation, but Renica's over there and I think she's actually falling asleep.
Yes. Yeah, she's good
and
like
I can
that.
See, you know, that person over there is kind of screwed. So maybe, you know, maybe it was like, bad chair dynamics and maybe it had nothing
I mean,
to do
it's
with
a small
Bobby and
garage.
Zach.
Yeah.
By the way, how do you get bands in here? Like what?
No. Those go in the living room.
The living room.
We clear out the living room.
What do the cats do? What about the turtles?
Well, the turtles rocks. I mean, he's like,
he likes it.
He gets a little groove on.
Or are you sure
the
that's
cats
not,
freak out and go into the bedroom?
Or is that
bedroom?
Like a nervous twitch?
Well, I don't think he can help it because the sound waves make the water move.
All right. He doesn't have a choice. Be nervous or dance. It's kind of the same thing anyway.
Yeah. No, but I really miss Zach and Bobby. Like, I like, I don't know if Zach or Bobby, I don't know if either one of you guys is listening, but I miss having you guys. I miss having you on the show.
And I think I can probably speak for, you know, some segment of the listeners that, you know, it's that dynamic's great. You guys should get past that bullshit, because it's, you know, it's great for us who, you know, people who want to learn about music. You guys are all, like, the three of you are so knowledgeable about this, you know, not just the industry, but like the individuals behind the scenes. And, you know, you become like a source for people who don't want to listen to the radio anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's the point, kind of.
Yeah.
I got sick of the radio.
Yeah.
And then when I heard about this podcast thing,
I have to say the LA radio is so much better in San Francisco. It's just ridiculous.
It's pretty good, but could be better. Yeah, it's better. It's better than San Francisco.
San Francisco is just sure. Terrible.
K-Fog and what do they have? KOME up there? Or what's the...
I don't even know. I don't even listen to it anymore.
Live 105. Modern rock and roll. Well, so I got a couple music songs, a couple picks dedicated to Zach and Bobby. So maybe we can play those.
That's sweet.
Play those tracks. Yeah,
that's real sweet.
Oh. See, why are you trying to make this? Why are you saying? Did you really mean it was sweet?
Wait, are you gonna kick me off the show?
Back on a journey again, tool as a pad and a pen, cool as a fan as the wind, soothing you after I sin. True in a vision, risen and driven, and giving you my isms of intuition. While niggas is living a lie, syllables spilling, I fly high as the pinnacle rhyme. Not to be little a fool, but try to get into you. My lyrics inherited from awareness somewhere in the sky. Clearly, you give a merit and cherish embedded with time. There is none ever in all like rivers, so clever I shine. Verbal ambassador, traveling this endeavor of mine. Never an anti gangster, the ghetto is still in the mind. If I was not rapping, a nigga might be up inside. All of your terrorists is still in wallets and necklaces. I give hella gratefulness for the blessing to share this and fly. Everywhere people outside the culture now try to define what it is, but it is mine. Such it is leveled with blind vision, but no division is vivid. We living inside. This is vindictive and mental prisons from within the mind. Sitting our fine stillness from innocence rich in the rhyme. Getting you smitten with it, particularly if you were prime. Listen, push it up like the lyrics was lined. Vintage is instant, so give it up when you hear it reside. Tended attention, relieving tension and bending your spine. Sending your signals to get your internal system alive. Line. Lyrical pinnacle, situation is critical. Syllable after syllable, give it to you, deliver you mine. Interval sending you through dimensions you didn't know hitting in you within you. When you get in the begin to intuit sentiments, internets could insinue your signals you get. Ripping through skin and through tissue, fix you elixirs at mine. Lift your peripheral vision, the mystical wisdom that tends to go into the infinite system of living. And this is the ending as well as beginning of the gift in its prime. Mission, the bliss is divine, christen it, isn't it fine? Listening, dissonant, that's an incident. Innocent men and women hit lyrics as killing niggas, they shiver. In the predicament, sticking the slit, the wig of an ignorant lyricist, putting fear in a spirit. Yo, that's my time.
Wow. I like it.
So that one's for Zachary, for two reasons. One, because he was the guy bringing the hip hop and like the hardcore, you know, the stuff that was, you know, just stuff that I wasn't bringing in. So, and that was Black Alicious, and the track was called My Pen and Paper. And the other reason is because he's a badass illustrator and
the artiste.
And even though this guy's version of pen and paper was probably about lyrics, I think it still relates. Mm. Yeah.
So, are we getting a dork report today?
Actually, that's a good question, Matt. Let me check.
So how does it work? So
he left a voicemail or something.
So he calls in on it's Notes Underground on Skype?
Yeah, the phone number you can call. There's a phone number you can call. If you have Skype, it's just Notes Underground. And then, or you can just call the phone number at 213-784-0924. And that's the, you know,
that goes directly into voicemail.
That's an LA phone number. So if you're calling from England, which would be kind of crazy, but yeah, and then it'll go into voicemail if I don't have Skype on. If I have Skype on, it'll actually ring like a phone.
Uh-huh. Okay.
You guys called a while back. And then I got one last week from this other guy. Let's check it out.
Hey, Notes Underground. My name's Dan. calling from London, England. And I'm from the area, San Francisco, originally. I found you guys' podcast. I absolutely fucking love it. It's exactly what I was looking for when I got into podcasts and started listening to all this stuff. So anyway, just keep up the good work. And I'm planning on submitting some of my music and some of my friends' music. And just keep rocking, guys. I absolutely dig it. Talk to you later.
So what's your delay time from when you do the recording to publishing?
About 3 days.
Right.
Something like that.
Why does it take you so long?
Because I'm a busy man, okay? I'm busy. I've got stuff to do.
Can't you? Isn't there a way to do it live?
Mm-mm.
You know what? There's a site out there called, I think it's called Video Egg or something like that, where they're doing some kind of cool stuff where you can... It hooks up to whatever blog platform you've got. So whatever blog software you're using, or it might only work with TypePad, but you can take video and essentially just drag it from your desktop into the browser window for this site, and it just drops it in as a new post into your blog. So, like, you can do, like, you know, as people's phones start capturing more video, it becomes just completely seamless to just capture some video, sync it up with your computer, and bam, you just blogged it. It's a pretty interesting, it's kind of a cool idea that looks like it's been implemented pretty well. I've just seen it demoed, but you know, it's very similar to the whole podcasting thing. And now that you've got the
syndication, is so weird because it's like the licensing laws get so fuzzy.
Completely.
You know, because originally, you know, you have a deal with somebody to be able to play their music on your show, and the scope of the audience and the distribution is very clear.
Mm-hmm.
And once you start syndicating, it's like, okay, well, so whose hands does this get on? You know, for example, I was telling you about that guy from there's a potential for me to put the show on the mobile networks.
Oh, right.
And the issue there for me is that, okay, I want to put the show, I want to get the show to as many people as possible.
Right.
However.
And he's going to be a distribution channel for your show.
And he's going to be a distribution channel for my show. But I don't necessarily have control over A, whether or not he makes any money on it, and B, whether or not the artists get paid. I mean, so the margins are probably so small at this point, it's no big deal.
But if he made money off of it, you don't know what would be kicked back to you and how you would figure out how to kick back money to the artists that you're.
Yeah, because I don't really consider myself a content creator. I'm a content distributor. So what happens to a content distributor who's distributing content from another content distributor who's distributing content from another content distributor?
Yeah, I mean, some point it just gets ridiculous. It's like you can't track all those instances. And as an artist, like, you start thinking about how should artists get paid in the future if it becomes completely seamless and fluid for you to be able to publish something and for it to just get out there,
procreate on its own, sort of,
and just exactly that it just finds its way. If you tried to track every single instance of your art appearing out there, I mean,
it's almost like we're getting to a point where it's a living media. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
Sometimes it's not even humans that are syndicating stuff.
Well, whole mashup thing, it's like one piece isn't necessarily recognizable once it mutates to the next piece.
It's like that whole Lawrence Lessig thing, remix, you know, and that.
But we have to have, I mean, I believe that we need to be careful not to put rules that restrict how far art can get distributed, but by the same token, somehow
somebody's got to get paid.
Somebody's got
for their creativity.
We have to build a way into our culture for artists to be able to get paid, so that you know, they're not doing it only in their spare time.
Right, because right now the only kinds of artists that are benefiting from this remix and syndication world are those artists that are capable of performing. Mm-hmm. So that this redistribution of their content just becomes merely, you know, very effective marketing. Mm-hmm. But a band like the Beatles would never be able to survive in today's climate because they didn't tour.
Right.
They toured like twice in 1964 and 1965. And then they're just like, all right, let's just go into the studio and blow this shit out and have some fun with it and really explore recording and change the face of recording for the rest, you know, forever to come.
I think Steely Dan was the same way. They didn't tour until, like, you know, much later in their careers. I think they had like mm-hmm. one tour early on, and then they just decided that they were much more effective as
studio musicians,
and, you know, they were able to make lots of money doing that because of the nature of an album and the right. distribution models there. But that's like totally different now. So how do you still support that system to foster, you know, creative growth?
It's a missing link, I think, you know, is
I think part of it,
and there's all these people trying to figure out how to monetize this stuff, and you hate them for doing it,
right?
You know, you right. hate them for doing it, but at the same time, that's a good point. Like people should get paid for this work, you
right.
know.
It shouldn't necessarily be like only spare time for people. There are some people who should probably be full time artists, and they, you know, we need a culture that can support that somehow.
Yeah.
You know, and one of the ways might be for, you know, one way that people seem to be consistently willing to pay for stuff is access, like concerts. Like people will pay for live music, and they, you know, maybe there's just more ways that an artist can expose themselves to people. So maybe it's not just concerts. Maybe for a photographer, it's like, you know, a dinner. Or, you know, whatever it is, that there's access to the artist that's unique, mm-hmm. that you can't get in right. the digital world.
Yeah.
That, you know, I don't know what the answer is.
But they shouldn't have to put their personal time on the line.
Why not?
Well, I mean, because
if it's their job, that's not necessarily personal time.
No, but I mean, I'm just saying, like, you. Like when it's you alone with the canvas or you alone with the microphone or whatever, that is creativity. And that is, you shouldn't have to go have dinner with some weirdo in order to pay for that, you know?
No, yeah. But I'm saying there might be ways to get paid for being an artist in this new world where you can create your stuff. It gets distributed however it gets distributed. Mm-hmm. You don't get paid for that distribution because it's just
right.
It's just unmanageable. Well, but you do get paid from other means. Mm-hmm. And that's you need to find what those are, and maybe it's an access issue.
Well, one of the things that's going on right now, and I think that it kind of works in this sense, is that an artist will release one or two songs for free. Mm-hmm. And they'll just say, you know what, this is public domain. These mm-hmm. two songs I'm using for marketing, and because I'm using it to market myself, that I want it to go as far as it possibly can, so I'm not going to require any kind of payback on these. But then there's eight others that if you like these two, you can only get if you buy them from me. And I think that makes a lot of sense, at least today. I don't know if that's going to make sense tomorrow, you know, but.
Well, then there's another approach that's kind of interesting, like in terms of feeding the whole remix and mashup culture. Like, I guess, I wasn't able to find on publicenemy.com, but apparently they've got a cappella versions of different tracks. Right. You
and
know?
Jay-Z did that with the Black Album, which is.
Oh, right.
Which is why Grey Boy was able to mix it so easily with Danger Mouse was able to mix it with the White Album.
Right. And that starts to become really compelling mm-hmm. as a way to help feed that marketing.
And it also gives your creativity a lot more longevity, mm-hmm. you know, as opposed to saying my art is only done like this.
Right.
You're saying here's a puzzle piece to whatever else might happen.
Right.
You know.
I don't know how that translates into other art forms, though. How can you?
And Jay-Z can afford it,
right?
And Public Enemy can afford it.
That's right.
You know, but that doesn't really work for bands like Space Mountain,
right?
You know, who are just getting started.
Yeah, like if they lay down some kind of like baseline or something and think that people are going to take that and mash it up, it's just not going to happen.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's a tricky issue.
Better to ask questions than to provide answers when we don't really know anyways, right?
Yeah, that's probably true.
Well, I still have one more track from This Is My Dedication to Bobby. Bobby Bell. So let me play this. Back in the old days, UC Berkeley, we used to listen to lots of stuff. Mark Lanegan was among them.
A cripple on his deathbed and a daydream he did ride. All past the streams of fire on a pedal path did glide. He left his wheelchair spinning deeper in the mud. And it set his memories, his body and his blood. Came to greet him, by his side she flew. Whispered as a part of him what he already knew. His head was spinning freely, and it was plain to see. His burden was himself, he bore the sight his eyes could see. Died quite easily, right there was gone for good. But couldn't see his loved one like he thought he should. He thought if they were gone, said he, and this cannot be true. The search to find what wasn't there has brought him back to you.
Kind of reminds me of Johnny Cash.
That guy's voice is just so good.
Yeah.
It just completely takes me back. The old Screaming Trees.
Yeah, I wonder how many cigarettes it took to get it to sound like that.
Do you think it's cigarettes or is it like...
I don't know. I mean, on the cover of Whiskey for the Holy Ghost, he's got a bottle of Jack and a, you know, ashtray with a cigarette
like
in
6
it.
6-inch deep of ashes.
I don't know. Yeah, I mean, it's obviously like just kind of deep and you know, dirty as it is. But I think of it, yeah, he's got a cool voice.
It's so cool.
I love that album, Whiskey for the Holy Ghost. Did you end up getting that?
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. It's like still in rotation for me. That album, you know.
Yeah.
I should probably skedaddle.
All right.
It's getting late.
Well, thanks for having me, Mitch.
Thanks for coming, Matt.
That's quite heavy. Sure you want to end like that? Sounds like someone died.
Someone did die.
Is it a piece of your show? Are you just making this up on the fly? What's going on? Sorry.
Good night, everybody.